If you heard the advert, by the way, for the Highland Radio birthday concert, just to let you know that tickets are actually really quite limited. So if you genuinely are interested in going, I suggest you get your tickets right now, because I have a feeling it's going to be a sellout, and it's a great lineup, so why wouldn't it be? So you would have heard yesterday, and in fairness, they've doubled down on some of the reporting today. You heard yesterday that the government is planning to introduce what they're calling an excessive water wastage charge. It is water rates. And it'd be for everyone, but you'd be given an allowance, they say a genuine or a generous allowance, so you probably wouldn't pay them. This is the start of it, right? But if you're constantly filling your swimming pool, then you might face water charges. Now, Micheál Martin in in Texas yesterday said, no, we're not planning on doing this at all. The minister with the responsibility said not yet. The papers seem to think that they have proper information that this is going to happen. So normally, it is going to happen, isn't it? Andy McGowan's of AMG Leak Detection. Good morning. How are you getting on, Andy?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's the obvious point here, and one I was tempted to make yesterday but didn't, that the biggest wasters of water are those that are treating and supplying it.
Yeah, there is. There are a lot of wastage in the pipe network throughout the county and throughout the country even. You would steady hear loss here and there affecting different households and businesses throughout the county.
In terms of if water charges do come in, especially for excessive use, right, you could not actually be using the water, but you could be losing it on your property, so you'd be responsible for that. So what do you see on a day-to-day basis in terms of water loss on some properties?
Yeah, that'd be correct, Greg. So a lot of properties have water meters or tovies up at the driveway of the house. So you could have a leak from the tovie down to the property. As you say, the leak might not necessarily be inside the house, but on the line between, say, usually the kitchen sink to the meter, and you'd be losing water there and you wouldn't even notice. But typically, you would have leaks inside houses where you would notice damage, like paint flaking off the walls or wooden floors swelling, doors jamming that you can't close them. You might hear a noise or get a smell of dampness, and then that's your kind of signs then that you have a possible leak within the house.
Are leaks on your average property more likely to be sort of, you know, from the tap to the meter, or, you know, under the under the floors of a home? Is there something that you come across more often than not?
Yeah, in most cases it would be inside the house. Usually the pipe from the meter down to the house is a heavier gauge pipe. And now, unless it was a stone was pressing against it, or there was maybe remedial works done at a certain time, it might get crushed and bust. But mostly it's inside the house, because it's usually copper piping inside the house, which over time can wear, and you'll get panholes in. Certain areas, the water seems to be affecting the copper worse. And then you just have wear and tear of pipes crossing over the top of one another, or fittings failing under the floor. And then you have a big escape of water then.
Just in relation to, I'll have to be a little bit careful here, because I think it's an ongoing sort of a situation, but just in terms of claims that some of the chemicals that were being put in water to treat it was having a negative impact on copper piping in quite short space of time, actually. Have you seen much of that? Is it easy for you anecdotally to identify where more of that's propping up in the county compared to elsewhere?
Yeah, you would get phone calls from certain areas there, and it's very common. And in that case, you're not really going on to do a leak detection. It is more or less just a rip out and replace, because what's happening there is you could have a length of copper pipe, say 20 foot long, and the water's weeping through the pipe. It's not actually even putting a hole, you know, so if you have that the whole way along, it's just the potential to let go at any stage and open out into a more severe leak.
Is it a leak if I have a radiator that I'm constantly having to bleed in an older house?
Have you been bleeding it from day one, or is this something that's started?
Not talking about me, but probably about 10 years ago.
Right. Usually in case they get, if it's always been in the property, if you've always had to bleed that radiator from day one, it's not likely to be a leak. If it's something that's just developed over the last couple of months, or if you're finding that you're bleeding more than one radiator, or you're hearing a lot of air and water traveling through the house when the heating's on, you would have the potential of a leak happening there.
Now, that is the situation in my house, and I mentioned it because I think sometimes you talked of, you know, flaws and issues like that, doors not closing, but it's not always obvious that there is a leak, is it?
No, not at all, because you say if your oil boiler was outside and you had a leak in your heating system, your leak could be outside on your street, you know, and inside the house is perfect, but you're losing water outside on the way out to the oil boiler. Now, a simple test for that would be to tie up the ball cock on the small tank in the attic, and you would just monitor for a few days. If it empties the tank, you know then, right, that water's getting away somewhere. So there's a few simple tests you can get the homeowner to do themselves.
Well, listen, they've put in a meter infrastructure. Maybe it's kite flying to say water charges are on the horizon. It seems to be the direction of traffic at the moment. You know, would you advise people, and of course you would as a leak detection company, but I mean also, you know, you can spend a bit now and save a lot into the future. How do I go about engaging with a leak detection company, right, to check my property? How do you check if I'm losing water, either, you know, from the meter to the house if you had one, or, you know, in the within the confines of the property's footprint?
Yeah, so what the homeowner could do, if they did have a meter installed, they could go out to their water, Toby, and you'll see like a dial on it, like a speedometer in a car, and there's a wee disc as well with an arrow on it, and you'll see it turning. Now, if you go into your house and you make sure nobody's using any water within the property, you go back out to the meter again and see if the dial's still turning. If it's still turning, there's still water passing.
Water's being
there
drawn
somewhere,
isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. There's a demand on it, and even though you're not using anything. So we sample checks like that. And the other things to do would be, if they get up into the attic, say first thing in the morning before anybody's used any water or any heat's going on to the house, you have two tanks up there, the small one for your heating and the big one for your hot and cold water. If they're still filling in and not overflowing to outside, there's something using water there within the house as well. Sometimes it can be as simple as a toilet overflowing, you know, down the pan that you wouldn't maybe notice. Yeah. But just wee things to get and check.
But if you have a toilet, you know, if you've a faulty, you know, like even the modern toilets, you know, say with the push button, there's a tiny little rubber valve. And if that is in any way defective, it will constantly run. Now, if it's making a noise, you might do something about it. But if it's not, you know what I mean? Yeah. That, and the amount of water that would be lost over the course of the week, even though it appears to be a trickle.
Yeah, and that's very common for business premises, where you could have maybe 10 or 12 toilets, you know, depending on the business. And if you have two or three toilets like that, you know, that's steady trickling down 24/7, that's going to be a substantial amount of water.
And a fleck of dust, almost like a fleck of dust into that rubber washer, and that's it, unless you clean it or replace it.
It basically has a panhole to come through. That's more or less what it's trying to feed through.
Now, I take it you don't come out with two sticks anymore, do you know?
No, unfortunately not. It would have been a lot cheaper if I could get away with two sticks.
Hey, well, you have to spend something for the tax man, all right? So you need the equipment anyway, yeah?
That's it. No, we've all the high-tech equipment there. You have an electroacoustic device there. So basically, it's like a doctor's stethoscope, only an electronic version. So you have your ground mic and your headphones, and you just go along, and what you're doing there is you're listening for like, so you'll get like a vibration noise, or you'll get the noise of water escaping. Then you would have your tracer gas. If you identify which pipe's leaking, drain the pipe out, hook your gas up. It's non-toxic, non-flammable. Put the gas through. The gas escapes and rises up. So then you have a detector then, see where the gas is coming. And then you would go then with your sound over the top of that again. Then you have your thermal imaging for your hot water and heating leaks. So that's basically a camera that lets you see where the pipes run under the floor. Now, it's not an X-ray camera. I wish they invented that. That would make my job a whole lot easier. But you use all them, and with being a plumber as well, you have a rough idea of the layout of houses, where pipes are going to be running, and it kind of ties in well together. Like, you know, you need all that equipment to narrow it down that you're not guessing within the property.
Sure. And listen, you know, obviously we're talking in the context of domestic leaks, and they are an issue, but, you know, businesses are actually paying for water now, so, you know, there's never a bad time, I think, it might be more difficult to isolate everything in a big business to sort of see if the meter's still ticking along, but it's certainly something that needs scrutinizing, and there's always a way. All right, Andy, listen, thanks very much for that. Do two sticks work, by the way, jokes aside? Water divining.
For me. Some people can. So
can they, though?
Some people that can do it.
Can they?
Yeah, well, they seem to do it.
Do you believe
it? Yeah. I'm not taking my chances.
All right. I'm not asking you to cut down a fairy tree in the middle of a field, Andy. Settle yourself.
Yeah.
All right, then. Listen, if anyone wants more information, AMG Leak Detection. Andy, thanks for your time. Continued success with the business. Lovely to chat to you.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Take care, Andy. Thanks very much for that. Now, normally I don't like to bombard you, but because we are raising money for charity this week, I'm going to and remind you of the auction that's running on the show this week. And we've got some fantastic prizes to give away. And we've got some bids on some, bids are still open on others. So we're still awaiting our first bid for a three-night stay in the Wild Atlantic Camp. You're invited to stay in their luxury new large chalet, sleeping up to 8 people. You'll be spoilt for a choice of things to do around Chrysler, Dunfanaghy, and wherever you might go. That's worth, we estimate, around about £600, and it'd be something I'd be tempting on bidding myself. We also have a one-week stay in a luxury four-bed villa that is in Spain. It's in the resort of Cusada. Well, it's close to Torrevieja anyway, and Alicante Airport. We already have a bid on that, €800. So if you can beat that bid, give us a call here on 07491 25000. I love this. We've got dinner for two at Nevin Maguire's restaurant in Black Lion, and a signed book, a hamper, and a piece of cutlery. You can't get into this place ordinarily. I would not discourage you from trying, but there's a huge waiting list. We have a table for two and the whole experience for you. We have a cheeky bit of £100 in there. You know, you never know. Just put in a bid. You just don't know. But if you think you can bid more than £100 for that, give us a call at 07491 25000. We have a human hair wig, which has been kindly donated by Sharon Hair and Beauty. There are a number of reasons as to why a lady might require that. Maybe it's post-cancer treatment. It could be alopecia or some other condition. That's valued at €2,500. And we've yet to get a bid on that, or people are still thinking about bidding. This is not a reflection on the prizes. It's just the way these things work. So that's worth €2,500. It might be good for you or someone close to you. So you can bid on that, 07491 25000. Michael O'Mihol is still the top bidder for our silver party pack at the Century Play. It's for 15 children. It includes an hour and 15 minutes of play, party food, and a goodie bag. There's a cinema option there as well. We've a bid in that bid in on that for €300. So Mihol is still the winning bidder there. Another cheeky bid on our two-night stay with breakfast at the four-star Canal Court Hotel in Newry in County Down. It's in the heart of Newry Town, and it's thanks to our friends at Radisson Blue Letterkenny. If you just wanted to hang around Newry, it's beautiful, but you also have close access to the city. The current bid on that's 100. As I say, it's a bit of a cheeky one. €270 is the top bid so far on our spa day for four people at the Shandon. 1.5 hours of a thermal spa experience, a 30-minute private bay view tub experience, and a glass of bubbly as well, and afternoon tea for four. Sharon's in with a bid there of €270. It's worth double that. We're not trying to achieve the value. We're just trying to achieve as much as we can for our fantastic charities. But I think you could bid on that, 07491 25000. David James has a big concert night in the Sligo Park Hotel on May 25th. We've got tickets for his show and also an overnight stay at the Sligo Park Hotel with breakfast. And we've a bid there currently at €250, which is nice. It's we could do a bit better, but it's not too bad, to be honest with you. Now, also has proved incredibly popular. It's a two-night bed and breakfast stay at Harvey's Point Hotel in Donegal Town. It's a midweek break for two nights, including breakfast and one dinner for two people. A lot in that, and it would cost you a pretty penny. Michelle has a bid in of €600 for that, which is really very generous. Michelle, I've got my fingers crossed for you. And this is a new addition to our auction. It's a Shop LK voucher. This is quite simple. I don't have to guesstimate its value. It's €250. And it's kindly sponsored by Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce. So if you want to bid on that voucher, it's a €250 voucher. If you just want to pay €250, you've donated €250 for charity, and you have a €250 voucher. It's simple, isn't it? Because the the big lift here has been from the Chamber. They've taken the hit on this. So even if you bid the face value, though, you can go lower for that Shop LK voucher. That money's going straight to charity. So 07491 25,000 again is the number to call there. Again, if there's any businesses out there that want to give us a nice juicy prize, we're looking to raise money for the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, Huey's Corner and Donegal Flights and Cancer Services. I'm sure you, like all of us, have had experience either directly or indirectly with one or all of those organisations, and you would like to do your bit to support them. Give us a nice prize, we'll get you on the radio. And also too, what it helps the public realise that you've got a great interest in your local community and you're prepared to put a great prize on the line. And that for me is a big thumbs up, and also support all of these businesses. In fact, to be honest with you, Bar the Villa and the Canal Court Hotel, I've done all of them except of course the Human Hair Week, and everything else I've kind of done because I shop local and support the local community as much as I can. All right, so that's it, that's the auction. Any money that you donate or bid, by the way, you get the prize, but that also goes to the three charities. So you can't lose. You're getting something for your donation or for your bid. So check out Highland Radio, the Highland Hub, a Facebook page. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening there. All right, so I just wanted to give you an update on that. Thank you very much indeed. And again, your generous sponsors feeding back into the local community. It's wonderful. And I was contacted by another local business there not so long ago, so we'll see if we can get that in there. Lee Gooch is going to come in with me on Friday. I might rope in Sean Quinn as well between 9 and 10, and we'll give that auction a good push to see if we can. Because as Sean pointed out yesterday, we already have over $2,000 raised even now if we shut everything down. But we can do better, can't we? All right, our next guest is about to join me, but first I'll take this quick break. With me right now is Colin White, Irish Kidney Association's National Advocacy and Projects Manager. Hi, Colin. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me today.
Absolute pleasure, Greg.
Right, okay. I just had a stat in front of me here that reads 1 in 10 people in Ireland, and 1 in 7, in fact, over the age of 50, are living with chronic kidney disease. How aware or unaware are we of that?
Hugely unaware, because quite often the symptoms can be kind of likes of fatigue, aches and pains that we tend to write off as just part and parcel of daily life. And so like the statistics from a report produced at the end of 2023 indicated that 98% of us are unaware that we have chronic kidney disease. So it's very silent.
Colin,
it's
just hidden, in relation to that, I find it hard to believe, though I don't disbelieve it, that 98% of people are also not going to get themselves checked out. Are we sure that in our wonderful GP community that they are asking the right questions, doing the right tests to try and identify some of this overwhelming majority of people that are walking around with a CKD?
Well, this is all part and parcel of the Irish Kidney Association's campaign around World Kidney Day, is to shine a light on it and bring awareness to it that, like, as well as the age having an impact, like the over 50s being 1 in 7 compared to 1 in 10 for the general population, you have those with cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, who are at much higher risk of developing CKD, or equally, it's a two-way relationship. If you have chronic kidney disease, you are at a much higher risk of developing cardiovascular disease. So like what the Kidney Association is really asking is that a system be in place that is testing those who are particularly at high risk, so the older ones and those with the identified illnesses. And equally that the public is asking questions about their kidney health. Like the goodness is, it's a simple blood and urine test that your GP can do that can determine the level of kidney function and whether there's any issue there. And in the last couple of years, some new medications have come online that they can now actually properly manage people with chronic kidney disease. They can slow the progression of it.
Yeah, well, we are actually far more advanced in this area of health than we are in other areas. We're lucky, you could argue, in that, as you say, early treatment can identify, can slow down the disease, prevent its progression. And that's very much in our interest because it is already a killer, but we know that within action, it's going to be a really significant factor in people's deaths by 2040.
Yes, internationally, the statistics are saying that by 2040, on its current trajectory, chronic kidney disease will be the fifth leading cause of death. So, like, for something that has gone so unspoken about for so long, I think there's this growing awareness that the kidneys are important, but it's the relationship of the kidneys to the rest of the human machine, as it were, that if the kidneys aren't working properly, your heart isn't going to be working properly. And if your heart's not working properly, then you're at higher risk of mortality. So an analogy I would often use is we're very happy to get our car serviced once a year to make sure that it stays on the road, it's in good shape. We should be looking to do the same with our own bodies. We should be kind of keeping...
It's a good analogy, but we're compelled to do one and not the other.
There's an interesting comparison because, if we get tested, particularly like those of us who are over 50, like things like CKD and some of the other illnesses are going to become more of an issue. So
Colin,
if we check in...
The bottom line is we are organic biological products. We are just machines, right? Made of flesh and blood and bone. We're going to get stuff as we get older. Our heart can only beat a certain amount of time. Our kidney has a lifespan, a function, and all that kind of stuff, right? So, but when we talk about the age demographics here, one in seven over 50 are living with chronic kidney disease. How much of that is preventable? And how much of it is literally just the aging process and the wear and tear on an organ? Like, can we also be a bit more proactive to reduce that one in seven? You know, rather than picking up the one in seven, sort of make that a one in 15 or a one in 20 or whatever it might be. Like, I don't know what I should be doing. I do a lot of these interviews, right? But I actually don't know what I should be doing to better improve my kidney health or better prevent kidney disease.
Well, it's actually the general public health advice is very relevant here. So it's about everything in moderation when it comes to the diet. And then it's about encouraging kind of regular physical activity. So it's not about turning yourself into a top international athlete on a very refined diet, but it's just about being sensible and checking in if you are in one of the higher risk groups. When you have a conversation with your GP, asking that question, and how is my kidney health? And so we're like, it was encouraging to note the outgoing Minister for Health last year signed off on chronic kidney disease being added to the chronic disease management program, which is run through GP surgeries, like through primary health, where they will be identifying the at-risk groups, and they will be testing for kidney disease and managing proactively. So looking at health being an investment rather than a cost when things are breaking down, that if we invest in preventative healthcare, the payoff is enormous in terms of quality of life, but equally the financial savings that can be made by the state are enormous.
And indeed, and to borrow your motoring analogy as well, if a local garage had a reputation for bad diesel or petrol, you would go to a different one, even if it cost more. We need to be conscious of what we're putting into our bodies as well, and absolutely, what have you. All right, Colin, listen, thank you very much for that. And there's more information, of course, on the Irish Kidney Association's website. You can greatly limit your risk in most areas with a generally healthy lifestyle. You don't have to become a saint or anything. And all that advice and information is there. And again, unfortunately, it's a call on our health service to spend a little now to save a fortune into the future, Colin. It shouldn't be an argument we have to make, but it comes up time and time again in conversations like this. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week, Colin. Thank you. Bye-bye. Colin White, Irish Kidney Association's National Advocacy and Projects Manager. Now, please tell people not to swim with basking sharks. I'd like to see one. I mean, rather than not swim with it, you know, it'd be nice to see a basking shark. I am some fella promised me something from, where was it? I can't remember where he was now. He was down off something to do with Schlieve League tours or something. He was on air and he promised me something or other. I'm going to have to take him up on that this summer. I would look forward to that. But also there's lots of, I just love the water. We were out in Torrey last summer. That was wonderful. I'm lucky enough to have a wee boat, spent a lot of time. Seen dolphins in Downing's Bay, Fanny's Bay, round there. Love it round Fanny's Bay. And also, so much more to see over the summer. Looking forward to it. Let's hope we get a good summer with calm seas. I brought my daughter to a teddy bear's picnic 20 years ago in Glenveagh, and she still talks about it. This listener says, more teddy bear's picnics for the 4 to 10-year-olds. Yeah, indeed, are of different themes or whatever. Will the opening of the minor injuries clinic in Letterkenny be like the building of a bridge over the Swilly? Will we be talking about this subject in another 35 years? Sadly, I think so. Why is it that solutions which are obvious to the people affected are not seen as a priority by those who can get the job done? It's not a concern I have. It's an observation. I wonder, are we going to move to a point whereby we're going to see some of these services being provided privately and then it's being deemed that that is that service being met? I'd be concerned about that. Good morning, Greg. The hospital is continually under pressure as there's no capacity in the community. Ask how many delayed discharges waiting for home help or long-term carers are being cared for in the acute setting. This is the biggest, the bigger news story. It's something we cover all the time. But when we're talking about what's happening in the AD, we can't always then start talking about step down care, home care packages, care in the community. It's just physically not possible. With regards to Letterkenny Hospital overcrowding, I think the doctors are a lot to blame. I'm from an era where the doctor was able to see you, diagnose you and treat you for all minor illnesses. Never in my younger years did the doctor automatically send you to the casualty without even seeing you. My daughter rang NowDoc last week and was told to go to the ED. She was given different medication that any doctor could have given her. It's a disgrace. What are our GPs doing? The NowDoc's a very good service and valuable. I've used it. I love the staff there. They've always looked after us. But do we need to start actually having a conversation? I think this is a paid for service, isn't it? What is going on that so many people are reporting them effectively not being seen but transferred to the casualty? The Purple Path, it doesn't exist. There's been a clamour for a separate minor injuries clinic for quite some time, says a listener. But I brought my child to my own doctor thinking I'd be able to have a wound stitched there, but was sent to the ED. Chock-a-block. Waited 5 hours and five stitches, a 5-minute job. Sorry, I didn't report to the private medics clinic. Could cost more or less the same, but I have sympathy for the staff and very ill patients. Okay. Right, Chris, before I fire the jingle, good morning to you. What is that? There's a black thing on your screen. Is it a cover on the phone? Is it your camera's damaged? What is it?
I think my camera's damaged, Greg.
All right, okay. I thought it was the steering wheel because you've taken to speaking to me in the car now. So it's not the steering wheel. You need a new phone. When's your birthday?
July.
Right, there you go. Often our family struggle. What do we get us? Get him a new phone. All right, Chris Ashmore has business news.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
So how are you, Chris? Are you well?
I'm very good indeed. Weather is good. We're
I'm
all
speaking
smiling,
to Caroline just shouted in my ear in a panic, your mic's up, as if me and you were going to be chatting off air. And I'm like, no, I know, I'm trying to interview the man. Thanks for that, Caroline, by the way, because that would be my worst nightmare. Sorry, Chris, I was asking you, what is the crack? How are you keeping?
All is good. All is all right, good.
Very good. Easter egg price hikes. I know in America, the cost of a dozen eggs, though, they've come down a little bit. $13 for 12 eggs. Of course, Easter eggs are a different product altogether. What's the story with price rises?
Yeah, well, I know you have a sweet tooth, Greg.
No, don't actually, but go ahead. I prefer give me cheese and crackers any day of the week, but go on.
Well, what's happening is cocoa prices are soaring to new heights, and it means there's a big increase in the cost of the raw materials, and particularly for the higher end chocolate eggs that have a higher content of the cocoa beans. So if you're going to be buying a fancy chocolate egg this Easter, Greg, you may have to dig a bit deeper.
Easter Sunday normally works out like I'm treated with a bit of silence, and then about maybe 11 o'clock I get, well, where's my Easter egg? And then I say, well, we don't do Easter eggs. And yes, we do. We don't. And then we all get over it by Tuesday. The thing I found with anything like Easter eggs, biscuits, chocolates, and this might prove very controversial, Chris, is the more expensive those items are, the less I like them. Do you know when you get biscuits and they cost like 15 quid for a box of biscuits? I generally don't like them. The same with chocolates. You know, the more expensive they are, I don't like them. And it's Easter eggs too. So cheap and cheerful. You can still get Easter eggs in shops. I think we got them 5 for a tenner or something like that there.
Yeah.
It'll do bad enough.
Yeah, so the word is 3 for a fiver, give Greg 3 Easter eggs.
Yes. We heard from Jimmy Stafford as the new Letterkenny Chamber president. There's meets and greets and meetings ongoing and all that type of stuff. Chris?
Well known, of course, works operations manager in the Bank of Ireland and previously president of the Chamber, Letterkenny Chamber, back in 2020. He's been on the Chamber Council since 2015, and he has been elected as the new Chamber and takes over from Claire McDonough. So, as always, plenty happening on the Chamber front. And Jimmy, many, of course, know him as a presenter on Highland Radio as well, and always hugely supportive of local enterprises in any way that he can. So no doubt he's relishing the prospect of the year ahead.
News of a business support clinic, Chris.
Yes, just to point out, this is taking place this Friday at 10 o'clock. It's online through the local enterprise office, and it's an opportunity essentially to learn about the various supports and services available to small businesses in Donegal. So, look, a good way if you want to find out what's out there, what the helping hands are, and can point you in the right direction, just go on to the local enterprise office in relation to that. And also coming up, there's a thing called Scala. Now, this is it's a program for entrepreneurs who really have a lot of potential. It's essentially a fast track program, and there's going to be an information meeting on that on Wednesday, March the 26th. If you want to inquire from the local enterprise office, there'll be a Q&A session, and certainly worth exploring if you believe you've an idea that could take off quickly. This is really for businesses and ideas that have considerable potential.
All right, news of a new wind farm for Inishowen. What scale's this?
Yeah, now, this is quite a small development, but as you know, Greg, one of the difficulties for wind farm promoters is actually A, getting through the planning process, and B, the connection to the grid can be an issue. But planning permission has been granted for a two-turbine wind farm at Upper Illies, which is near enough to Buncrana, and it's a pretty big one. There are only two turbines, but the rotor blade diameter will be 82 metres. So if you think of a 100-metre sprint on an athletics track, and not far off the length of that, and that's just the diameter of the blade. So it gives you a scale of it. The applicant is Fawn Wind Limited. Hasn't been too many new developments in recent times, so just wanted to flag that for you.
Brilliant stuff. Right now, coming up on this week's Business Matters podcast, a couple of interesting guests are indeed. Yeah, indeed. So who's up first? Helen Nolan, of course, from a very successful organisation. Chris, are you coming back to me? Chris is frozen. All right, I'll see if Chris reconnects there.
Yes.
You are there. Right, Chris, Stawley Briggan, you must have had a call coming in.
Yeah.
Now, Spriaga Sport, talk to us about your guest there.
Yeah, it's based in Carndonagh, and it recently won the Best Business in the Community Award at the All-Ireland Community and Council Awards. It also won a Highland Radio Hospitality Award. Now, this is a social enterprise. They do a huge variety of things. They have a child and family hub. They have a digital creative lab. They have a couple of shops, one specializing in clothing, one on restored furniture. Big involvement in helping out in the community. It is run on a basis they want to make a profit, but it's invested back into the community. And they estimate that it's worth around 2 million euro to the local community, providing a whole range of services, including helping employment opportunities for those with disabilities and you know, it's great to see that other people around the country can actually replicate their model, because what they have achieved is quite considerable. So I've been speaking with Helen Nolan about this, and she's been talking about the really positive impact that they've had on the local area.
We try to buy as much materials and any resources that we need as locally as we can. So we do try to keep as much money as possible within the Camden and the wider Inishowen community. We're probably contributing close on 2 million to our local economy, which is huge when you think of where we started. But it's just, you know, it's been an incredible journey for, you know, for me personally, and for so many of our team who've been there from the beginning.
Interesting chat too, coming up with Neil McConnell of ISME.
Yes, Neil McDonald, he's the chief executive of ISME, which is the Small and Medium Enterprises Association. They're looking for changes in the defamation laws. Now, Greg, this is it's a very interesting topic. A lot of small retailers, those in the hospitality interest, a lot of cases around shoplifting and alleged theft. And if the wrong thing is said, you can quite easily end up in court. It can be a very expensive process. And the ISME, which represents small and medium businesses, they're taking a real stand on this. And Neil has been explaining it, just why they are so concerned.
Believe it or not, we have more defamation actions in Ireland on an annual basis than they do in England and Wales, with 12 times the population. This is a very popular lawsuit to bring. So if you're a small shopkeeper and you get this letter in the door, you have very few options on your side. The law, unfortunately, as it's currently structured, is absolutely on the side of the miscreant. And we think, you know, it should be a matter of conscience and ethics for the TDs in the Dáil to ensure that this stops, because we really shouldn't be rewarding unethical and unmeritorious and frankly disgraceful lawsuits against innocent businesses and citizens.
I'm not sure if this is covered by what he's talking about, but I would have not concerns, but when a business posts images of someone and sort of implies, you know, criminal activity or impropriety from CCTV footage, even if the person is actually, you know, ultimately found responsible, I understand why they're doing it, but I would have my concerns, because they're using a public platform, a publishing platform, to imply something that's unproven. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of that is the source of some of these defamation claims that they have against them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's an area that has, you know, it can be quite complicated. And I suppose one of the other gripes that they have is, in a lot of cases, Greg, rather than the cases, excuse me, going to court, that the settlements are made. And he's given examples of cases that, you know, quite often a small business might make a settlement, maybe 5-7 grand. But the actual legal costs could be 3 or 4 mm-hmm. times what the settlement is. And then they want to avoid going to court. And then there's the insurance implications. And it's a bit of a minefield.
It really is. Defamation is a tough old space, especially in our work, Chris. People don't realize, and I think they get frustrated, that you just can't say anything that you want to be able to say. But unfortunately, the insurance companies very often... and I'm not talking about, I'm not privy to anything that happens here. I'm not talking about here, but the insurance companies often roll over really quite quickly and recoup the money in increased premiums and what have you. Okay, that's the Business Matters podcast. It's live for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com, where Chris speaks to Helen Nolan, and an interesting conversation for Neil McDonald, for those in business and outside of business as well. It's also broadcast on Sunday, Christopher.
That's right, after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, and you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Slant, see you next week. Chris Ashmore there. I'm not sure, there's another interesting programme coming up on Sunday as well. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention it. I'll get a confirmation from Oisin. But obviously our team's down for Donegal's last home game in the league, and I think there's a special DL debate coming up after that show, a live spectacular, because obviously Monday being a public holiday... and I think that's going to be really interesting, just to have that level of post-match analysis as well, and also looking forward to potentially a league final, depending on the outcome of that game, and Tyrone's chances as well. We love our Derry and Tyrone listeners and beyond, so we try and cover all of that. So I think there's a special live DL debate on Sunday, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it, but I presume I am because I've said it. So anyway, okay. That'll just add to the fantastic coverage. All right, I do have to take a very quick break. Stay where you are. I'm going to be back with the weather. Now, I was supposed to speak to Paul McLaughlin, a gardener at Ballagher Garden Station, Garden Centre, about new guidelines coming into place which could impact you as a landowner or a gardener. Unfortunately, I've ran out of time, Paul, so my apologies. I want to come to you tomorrow, so please accept my apologies in advance. The weather forecast, mainly dry with a mix of cloud and sunshine. Highest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees in a light to moderate northerly wind, occasionally fresh. Now, we are running our big crash draw for Friday, and I'm not criticising any other organisation, but you might not realise this. Your chances of winning €50 on the lotto is, wait for this, right, 1 in 918. Your chances of winning €150. Sorry, let's go to match five because it's closest to our prize. Your chances of winning a match five prize on the national lottery is 1,500, right? 1 in 44,000. Actually, 1 in almost 45,000. So your chances of winning $1,500 on the lotto is 1 in 45,000. We've got nine €1,000 cash prizes to give away. And if you bought one ticket at this stage, you've probably got a one in, I don't know, somewhere between, I don't know what it is. I think it's probably about 2,500. And you've got that nine times, right? So compare it to the lotto here. A 1 in 45,000 chance of winning the lotto. To win £1,000 with us, at the moment, it's probably about 1 in 2,500. And you've got nine of those chances. Why am I telling you this? Because we've got nine €1,000 cash prizes to give away on Friday as part of our Highland Radio birthday celebrations. Those are pretty good odds, aren't they? 1 in 45,000 or maybe 1 in 2,500, 3,000, who's to say, right? But suffice to say, the odds are much, much lower. And you've got nine chances for a tenner. So for the odds of 1 in 2,500, it's costing you €1 per draw. Can you get better value than that? And how much is it to do the lotto? I don't know, €4,000 or €5,000. And you've got a 1 in 50,000 chance of winning €1,500. So I think the odds in our competition are really, really good. The lotto's great, not criticising it, but just to let you know the type of odds we're playing with. So effectively, for about €1, you've got a 1 in 2,500, 3,000 chance as it stands now. So that's really good, isn't it? So get your tickets now. Highlandradio.com. It's safe and it's secure. Buy your tickets for the draw now, and then you're in all nine draws for just a little €1.10 to give you a 1 in 2,500, 1 in 3,000 chance of winning a grand. That's what we're talking about here. And I thought I'd just emphasize that, because when you do the lotto, you have a 1 in 45,000 chance of winning 1,500, and it costs you what, £4? And you're supporting three brilliant charities. I'll remind you of them once again. Huey's Corner do amazing work in supporting young people, those under the age of 18. Maybe they've lost a sibling, maybe they've lost a parent, maybe they've of a serious illness. They support them, and they are funded solely by your generosity. Donegal Cancer Flights and Services do amazing work with people diagnosed with cancer to take the pressure off them, some of the pressure off them with their diagnosis. And of course, the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation. You're going to be supporting all those charities as well with those fantastic odds of winning a great prize. Nine chances at about €1.10, with odds about a tenth of the lotto of winning a prize a little bit bigger, €1,500. Have I sold it to you? Do you get where I'm coming from? So you can have fun, a decent chance of winning, though I've given you the odds there. I'm not misleading you either. But you're supporting those three great charities, and we would love to be able to, as a Highland family, donate as much as we possibly can. So please, if you haven't got your ticket, get your ticket now. Maybe you don't like that kind of stuff, and that's perfectly fine. There's other ways to donate. But if you don't mind having a punt, get your tickets now. They're just a tenner. You can buy a couple if you want to, if you can afford it, but you're supporting charity, right? And you can sit back and listen to the draws on Friday. Fantastic stuff. And hopefully then we'll have loads of money raised to give to these three great charities. And tune in on Friday for a whole list of special guests, music, conversation from morning right up until 8 o'clock. And beyond, actually, Marty Friel's got a grand to give away. Ivan Borland's got a couple of grand to give away. David James has a few grand to give away. John Brez and me as well. And Gooch is going to be in, so we'll count him on my show. How's that? All right, okay, so you can go onto the website. Give us a call here too, by the way, 07491 25000. We'll get that ticket bought for you. Or, in fact, if you're just dealing cash, you can call up to the station. That's where we have to leave it today. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for texting. I have to carry some texts over for tomorrow because I didn't get to them all today. But that's it for now. Stay safe and stay tuned.